So welcome, gang, for the November 13th, lucky 13th edition of Michael's Saturday Surprise in the year 2010. And in about 4 or 5 seconds, we'll switch it from our northern studios to our southern ones as Mike will tell us what's in store from his vantage point.
Well, as I've mentioned, well, the gang knows, but anyway, for tonight, we'll be hearing a Have Gun, Will Travel, and Rick will be playing the Andersons, Junior's Taken to Broadcast. So, without further ado, we'll jump in right into the show. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Someday the city will blow up this devil's inferno we call the waterfront. I hope you live long enough to swallow the flames.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
May I warm your coffee, my dear?
Yes, thank you. I just love having dinner in your suite, Mr. Paladin.
I'm glad you do, Linda.
Such a cozy arrangement by the fire. I just adore a fireplace. Do all the rooms in the Carlton have a fireplace?
Well,
Mr. Paladin! Oh, Mr. Paladin!
Who's that?
Mr. Paladin!
Hey, boy, I thought he had the night off. Excuse me.
Excited, isn't he?
All right, hey, boy. I'm coming.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, so happy you're here. Afraid you'll be out for evening.
What's the trouble, hey, boy?
Pleased to talk to you alone?
Oh, sure. I'll be out in the hall, Linda. So, what's all the excitement?
Oh, Miss Wong. Missy.
You what?
I cannot find Miss Wong.
Miss Wong is missing?
Yes, yes. Would you please to help Mr. Paladin?
Now, just a minute, hey boy. Start from the beginning.
Well, Miss Wong, hey boy, have big plans for evening. Plans to meet her at 7 o'clock at home of Honorable Aunt. She not there. Honorable Aunt says she does not come home from work. We wait. 9 o'clock come, Missy Wong, not there still.
Well, she was here this afternoon. I saw her down the lobby.
Well, he saw her. Hey, boy, see her, too, when she leave Carlton at 5 o'clock.
Well, did she say she was going home?
No, sir, first she delivers package for lady, then she go home.
Oh. Did she say where she was going to deliver the package?
No, she not say. But Missy Wong very happy to deliver package. She get big tip, $2. She not tell her boy destination of package.
Who gave her the package, hey boy? Was it someone registered here at the hotel?
Well, no one I ever see before. A strange woman.
What do you mean, strange woman?
All the dress in black. Long black dress. Black overhead like a bonnet.
Hey boy, did she have a red kerchief around her neck?
Oh, yes, sir. That's the one. You see her too?
No. No, I didn't see her, but there's only one strange woman in San Francisco who fits that description. Mammy Kane.
Mammy Kane?
Hey, boy. Pretty young Chinese girls who deliver packages for Mammy Kane can get into a lot of trouble.
Oh, Miss Wong in a lot of trouble?
If it was Mammy Kane, I'm afraid so.
Oh, Miss Paladin can help?
I'll try.
It's new. It's revolutionary. It's at your Columbia phonograph dealer. Columbia, first with the LP record, first with guaranteed stereo fidelity records, is first again. Stereo One by Columbia, number one in the wonderful world of sound. A new listening experience in stereophonic high fidelity sound that makes all your records, stereo or regular, sound better. Just wait till you see the great selection of Columbia Stereo One models at your Columbia dealer. Just wait till you hear the great new sound of pleasure, Stereo One. There's a Columbia Stereo One phonograph for every room, for every budget, for every listening need. Columbia portables are priced as low as $24.95. Consoles with many exclusive new Columbia features start at the amazing low price of $129.95. And you can buy on easy terms at your Columbia phonograph dealer. See them all and hear them all today.
Mammy Kane, mystery woman, who in the few short years since the Civil War had gained enormous power through the boarding houses on the waterfront. She knew the private indiscretions of the boarding house masters, and her fortune was made by supplying them with servant girls, usually Chinese. The mystery woman had bought an old mansion on Bush Street. The gaunt eucalyptus trees moaned against the sea breeze from the bay as I walked up the steps to the massive front door. A few moments later, I was facing Mammy Kane, dressed in the same black dress she always wore. And even in her own parlor, the matching bonnet was tied around her chin.
Do you have a glass of sherry, Paladin?
No, thanks. I don't have time.
So the great Mr. Paladin has come to visit Mammy Kane, and he doesn't have time for a glass of sherry. What brings the mountain to Mohammed?
A Chinese girl, a Miss Wong, who works at the Carlton.
What makes you think I know something about a Chinese girl who works at your hotel?
The $25 you got for delivering her to one of your clients? Was the package addressed to East Street or Finn Alley, or has your business spread to the Barbary Coast?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, I'm Paladin, remember? Now, don't you pretend with me.
You sure you won't join me in a glass of sherry?
I'd say you average 4 girls a day. That's $600 or $700 a week. It's pretty fair wages for a beggar who came to San Francisco 9 years ago with nothing more than the dress on her back.
I didn't think it was your nature to insult ladies.
Would $100 gold piece insult you?
What for?
To tell me where you sent Miss Wong.
She must be very important to you to be worth that much. Did I get a prize this afternoon?
$100, Mammy.
I don't want your money, your insults, or the trouble you could cause me. Get out of my house, Paladin.
What does it take, Mammy? Force?
Don't threaten me.
No, don't threaten the matriarch. Queen of the waterfront scum, peddler of flesh.
Shut up!
Oh. It will take force.
Keep away from me.
Should I kill you?
No. Paladin, no!
Tell me, where's Miss Wong?
Please! I'd be ruined if I tell you.
Would you rather be ruined or dead?
All right! Please don't tell him I told you.
Where is she?
Kelly House in Finn Alley.
What will they do with her?
Either keep her there as a servant or sell her as a slave. Sometimes they ship them down the coast.
Where would she be now, Mammy?
Probably still locked in a room upstairs in the sailor's quarters.
All right. Now, if she isn't there, I'm coming back and put a leash on you, Mammy Kane. And if you have to sniff through every waterhole from here to Cape Horn, you'll lead me to Miss Wong.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should, because
there's Filter Blend up front. Up front ahead of the filter. And the flavor you get in a Winston cigarette comes from Filter Blend.
Filter Blend means fine tobacco. Filter Blend up front. And the flavor you get in a Winston cigarette comes from Filter Blend.
Filter Blend is a mighty good reason for you to smoke Winston, because it means tobaccos specially processed for filter smoking. A Winston secret. You get Winston's own pure white, modern filter, plus the rich, delightful flavor of fine tobacco.
There's Filter Blend up front, up front ahead of the filter. And the fun you get in a Winston cigarette comes from Filter Blend.
And makes Winston taste good like a cigarette should.
Winston tastes good like a
cigarette should.
The waterfront was the realm of the devil, savored with pitch and tar. Finn Alley was lined with two-story boarding houses. On the top floor, sleeping quarters. On the bottom floor, the dining rooms and the saloons. The saloon keeper was the boarding house master. He offered the arriving sailors rooms, meals, and lager beer, and when they owed him enough money, he sold them to anxious ship captains for a profitable sum. He was a crimp who spent his spare time shanghaiing and dealing in the business of servant girls. The dim streetlights along Finn Alley cast long shadows on the cobblestones, drenched by the eerie fog. Depraved men from all over the world littered the street. I walked past the German House, Three-Fingered Jack's, the Bucket of Blood, Chicken Jim's Palace, and finally, the Kelly House.
Come on in, Sonny, and breast the bar. Beer is on the house.
No, thanks. No beer.
The Kelly House offers the finest lager on the alley. Ain't that so, Bucko Mate?
Oh, Kelly.
Say, I want to talk to the boarding house master.
Oh, it's me, the owner, standing right in front of you. Michael Kelly, master of the Kelly House.
I want to discuss some important business with you, Mr. Kelly. Alone.
We're alone, Sonny. Why, there ain't a sober mate among us. What's your important business?
I came to buy a Chinese servant girl.
Aha! A gentleman has come in me midst to buy a servant.
Oh, Kelly!
And what makes you think old Kelly sells Chinese servant girls?
I've got the money. You name the price.
You have credentials, identification?
No credentials, just money.
You think I run an illegal business of selling girls, eh?
Well, Mr. Kelly, is this enough gold to open the door to your illegal business?
Perhaps Kelly should talk with the gentleman.
I want a special Chinese girl, the one who came in this afternoon around 5:30 with a package from Mammy Kane.
Follow me, lad, to Kelly's back room. Take the door over there and turn to the right. Me office is at the end of the hall. I'll meet you there.
Right.
Oh, Gertie, you take over the bar. Keep tab on all the drinks. Gertie, my boy!
Oh, Kelly!
Now, let's see. Yeah.
Such a pretty belaying pin. Now, which pocket did you keep the gold in, me bucko?
I don't know how long I was out, but when I woke up, I was lying in the bottom of a skiff. I was alone, except for a pudgy, bearded sailor who was rowing us through the dense fog. My hands were tied behind my back, and my feet were roped together. The rocking movement of the small boat didn't help the dull, throbbing pain in my head. So, after considerable effort, I managed to raise up into a sitting position.
Yeah, so you decided to wake up, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it... Hey, where are we going?
To that old deep water packet out there.
Oh, there. Then what happens?
What happens? The captain has a new sailor.
A new sailor. You work for Kelly?
I work for whoever pays me.
How many new sailors have you delivered to the captain tonight?
You'll have plenty of mates on board. Don't worry about that.
Where's it going?
What?
The ship. Where's it going?
Who knows? It's a packet that carries coal Who knows? Maybe you go to Puget Sound. That's a lovely trip to Puget Sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah, lovely. What's your name?
Paladin.
Paladin, did you ever work on ships before?
No, not that I remember.
You would remember.
Yeah, I guess I would. Hey, why have you got my hands and my feet tied up like this?
Kelly ties you up. I untie you when we get to the ship.
Yeah. Ropes burning my wrists.
What did you say?
My wrists. Ropes burning them. Couldn't you just loosen it up a bit?
No.
Oh, what difference does it make? Just loosen it up a little, huh?
No. I untie you when we get to the ship.
Burned wrists wouldn't be too good for shoveling coal, would they?
Maybe not.
Look, I'm not asking you to untie me. Just loosen the rope, will you? Come on, please.
Maybe so. I think you're a good fellow. And you've got lots of troubles to come. Yeah, I'll loosen it for you, Paladin.
Oh, thanks.
Can you turn around?
Well, not with my feet tied up. There's not enough room. Couldn't you just sort of reach around?
Reach? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, good. There.
Yeah, so. Matt Kelly ties good knots.
Yeah, he sure does. Yeah.
Usually I have to cut the ropes, but... Yeah, this one does not seem to be too difficult. Could you move your arm?
Here.
Yeah, so...
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. It's coming. Anyway. Wait! You dirty black-lined dog!
Sorry, old mate. Thanks for untying my hands.
Constipation is something people don't talk about much, but it can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say.
A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence.
Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because pleasant-tasting chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight. Is X-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
I took the sailor's knife and cut the rope away from my ankles and rowed back to shore. He was still unconscious when I tied the skiff to the wharf, but he was breathing, and I knew he'd be all right. It was a short walk back to Finn Alley. It must have been after midnight, but the Kelly house was still rolling with the same black-hearted drunks.
Oh, come on in, Sonny, and rest it. Oh, hey, you.
Surprised, Mr. Kelly?
You come back, eh, Paladin?
Oh, so you found my credentials in my wallet and remembered my name, huh? Well, I'm flattered, Mr. Kelly.
Now, Paladin, I had to do what I did. When I found out who you were, I was afraid you'd come back and kill me.
Now I'm back.
I'll make everything right with you, and then you go.
I'll go when you bring the Chinese girl to me.
Forget the Chinese girl. It'd mean nothing but trouble for you.
Where is she, Kelly?
I don't know. Take me advice, my friend, and forget her.
Stop dodging, Kelly. Maybe I should beat it out of you. I owe you a few blows for the one you gave me.
Will you keep away?
Oh, you put that bottle down and come out from behind the bar.
Get out of here!
Huh? Hey, your aim was better in the dark. Over that bar, Kelly.
You want to fight, Kelly, huh?
Why, you... Now, Kelly, the Chinese girl, where is she? Listen, Kelly, where is she?
Upstairs, in the last room on the left. The key's in my office. Get her, get out of here. And stay away from my place, Paladin.
I'll stay away unless you come poking around my part of town. Someday, San Francisco will blow up your waterfront, Kelly. I hope you and Mammy Kane live long enough to see the flames. Miss Wong was crouched in the corner of the locked room like a frightened animal. When she realized I was the one who entered the room, tears filled her eyes and ran down her cheeks. It was a quiet trip back to the home of her honorable aunt. Everyone was overjoyed, including, of course, Hayboy. She did not come to work at the Carlton the next day. The following morning, I was just leaving my hotel room when there was a knock at the door. Oh, well, good morning, Miss Wong.
What? Good morning, Mr. Paladin.
Did you have a restful day off yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Good.
Honorable aunt, so very kind. She served me breakfast in bed, dinner in bed, and supper in bed.
And how do you feel today?
Happy to be back to work after so much food and so much rest.
Oh, well, I hope your appetite returns by this evening.
Yes, sir. Oh, how so?
I've made some special arrangements for you and Hayboy.
Hayboy.
I'll be leaving town on a business trip late this afternoon, but you and Hayboy are invited to be my guests for a private dinner here in my room.
Oh, with a fireplace?
Yes, with fire and everything.
Fire. Does Hayboy know this?
Nope, not yet.
No, well, maybe you wait. We surprise him.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Now, the chef has promised to fix you a very special dinner.
Oh, I wonder what he will prepare for us.
Oh. Filet de bœuf, sauce béarnaise. Côtelette d'agneau, sauce soubise. Escalope de veau à la guenoise. Pomme de terre, maître d'hôtel.
Mr. Paladin?
Yes?
If you know what the chef will prepare, do not tell me. Then Mr. Wong have a surprise.
All right. I won't tell you.
Not yet.
It'll be a surprise.
Improved K-Site tune-up, the tune-up in a can.
Morning, sir. Help you?
I hope so.
Engine, huh?
Hasn't got the pickup of a kitty car.
Well, it's misfiring some.
Some? Mister, half my plugs are on strike.
Improved K-Site tune-up, the tune-up in a can.
Yeah, probably your rings are sticking, maybe your valves. When was that carburetor cleaned?
Not too recently.
Improved K-Site tune-up, the tune-up in a can.
Your car's not in such bad shape, all you need's a tune-up.
A tune-up? A $50 tune-up?
Now relax, we'll add a can of K-Site tune-up to your gasoline, another can to your oil. That'll clean your whole firing zone. Valves, rings, plugs, carburetor, everything.
Mister, you're pouring it on.
No, you pour it in. $1.25 a can at most any service station. Results guaranteed or double your money back.
Improved K-Site tune-up, the tune-up in a can.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris, and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Mr. Paris. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Joseph Kearns, Waldo Epperson, and Paddy Gallagher. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, will travel.
When's the last time, I can't even remember the last time I got a minor tune-up for $50, let alone a major. Ooh, 50 years ago, huh? Well, Michael, excellent job, excellent choice. A great series, but this one was particularly good in terms of its sound effects and its emotional draw. So, really good lead-off. Now it's my turn to follow it up. Well, you know, I quite often prowl the side streets of OTR. And tonight's one of those side adventures. And to be blunt, it ain't as good as what you heard. But it's all part of what it was. I picked on the Anderson family because we've been hearing the Anderson family, or at least a different one, for the last little while, so I thought we'd kind of slide into moving away from the Andersons of Maple Street to this Anderson family. And I can't tell you a whole lot about them. I have not a great many reference books and such, but the ones I have are relatively reliable, and they don't mention this series at all. Maybe because it wasn't that good. Oh, it wasn't a bad series. Of course, with me, OTR is like pizza. There's no such thing as bad. It's just variations of good. This came out in 1947. I suspect it ran for a year. Another family sitcom type. And, well, you'll hear one voice that's familiar. A little fellow that was pretty busy in the 40s. When you hear him, you'll know of at least two other series he was doing at the same time. I do have a bunch of these guys, but we're probably never going to play it outside of here unless somebody wants it. However, there are a lot of syndicated shows. This is one of them. There are a lot of other syndicated series out that were really good. And in the future, there's one from the early 30s I'd love to play. It's just one of those little heartwarmers, 15-minute series. They did run in a sequential pattern with plot developments, etc., but they also stand alone. So in the future, we may sneak in some Family Doctor. But for tonight, it is the Anderson family from 1947, and Joni, maybe you would know more about this, or other people that know more about that era than I do, but here we go with, as Michael already indicated, the title of Junior Takes to Broadcasting, which isn't exactly accurate, but it's pretty close to what was going on.
Anderson family.
I don't see why Junior can't go with you to your broadcast, Oliver.
But I'm trying to tell you, Mary, they won't let children in the studio.
But Junior's so proud of you, dear.
Oh, of course he is. But can't he be just as proud staying home and listening to our own radio?
Uh-oh. Here we go again, folks.
Thank you. Now let's visit the Anderson family. You wouldn't believe that one person, and I'm speaking of Oliver Anderson, could take things so seriously, do everything the hard way, and still keep his balance. For instance, this evening, Oliver has been chosen by the Big Brother Club to be a part of the radio program for better understanding between boys and their parents. So right this moment, we find Oliver in the attic, digging his army uniform out of a trunk.
Why, Oliver, all these bottles in the trunk. Where on earth did they come from?
Well, I'm not sure, but your father always wanted to read in the attic, remember?
They say we should turn in all our empty bottles.
They mean milk bottles.
Oh, there are so many of them.
Yeah, your father read a lot.
Wait, don't drop those papers, Oliver. Here, hand them to me.
Paper? Oh, those are art pictures I was saving for Homer Meister.
Art pictures? Looks as though you're in business with Teddy and Varga. It's a good thing Junior doesn't come up here looking around.
Well, now, I don't do anything wrong in pictures. Some people like landscapes, some like marine scenes.
But you just like people. Yes, I know. Here, I'll burn them.
No, wait. I promised them to Homer to pin up in his garage.
Well, I don't know where he'd pin them.
Oh, all right, go ahead. I don't care what you do with them anyhow.
Well, we'll just put them over here on this box.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't know where you were.
Oh, come on in, dear. We're getting your father's army uniform.
Pop?
Yeah?
Do they let kids in the radio studio?
Not under 12.
But I'm 12.
Yeah, but you're small for your age. I just have an argument down at the radio station, and I'm in no mood for another one.
Your father's very nervous, Junior. After all, he has almost 2 pages to read.
I'm not a bit nervous.
One of the big brothers is coming over to the Gargoyle Boys Club and pick out a representative boy for the program tonight, Pop.
Well, that's different. They're on the program. But I can't take you in with me. Wouldn't you like it better to sit at home, Junior, and hear me over the air?
It's no fun that way.
You can hear him on our radio, Junior. Just keep your hands off those pictures, dear. I'm burning them.
Oh, those? I've seen them.
Oliver, bring your uniform downstairs. It needs some dusting and pressing from the way it looks.
If I kept real still, I don't see why anyone would object to my going to your broadcast, Pop.
I don't make the rules, Junior. I'm lucky to get in there myself. Now, here, hold this needle.
Run on, Junior. Someday Mother will take you down to a broadcast.
Oh, sure. Mother will get you in when Pop flops.
I didn't say that.
It would seem to me that I've had enough to worry about. I've never talked into a microphone before.
There's no reason why you should snap our heads off. And if you don't stop moving around, Oliver, you'll get stuck with this needle.
I'm not. I'm worried. Can't you see that?
Oh, maybe I could just look through that glass window and watch. I could tell the kids at the Gargoyle Club all about it.
I'll wait a minute, Mary. You look where you're sewing. Don't look at Junior.
Well, maybe you'd better run on, Junior. Your meeting at the Gargoyle Club is in half an hour.
Yeah, have the boys listen on the radio and then tell them it's your father.
Uh-huh.
You don't seem very enthusiastic about it.
Can you blame him?
Wait a minute, Mary. Oh, these trousers are not going to fit.
Well, I'm glad you realize it. You've certainly gained around the waist since you wore this uniform.
Why wear the uniform again, Pop?
Simply because all of the founders of the club are ex-servicemen, and they asked me to wear it. That's why.
Go on, Junior. Get yourself cleaned up for your meeting.
And let me alone for a minute. I'll be a nervous wreck.
Gee, Pop, I hope you don't make any mistakes.
Well, it'll be a wonder if I don't.
Oh, I feel a little bit like a meanie, Oliver. Junior's so wrapped up in what you're doing. You're so abrupt with him. I'm so nervous.
Well, who wouldn't be? Look at this uniform. 3 sizes too small.
Now, just calm yourself. You can stop in the costume shop. I'm sure they'll have your size, and it'll be nice and new.
That's an idea. I'll go down there right now. Have about 3 hours before airtime.
I think that's best, dear. I'll ask Junior to sit right in front of the radio.
Mm-hmm. Now you're being sarcastic.
I'm not either, dear.
But he won't be there because he wants to be there.
I think you misunderstand him, Oliver. Don't worry about that, too. Hurry and get your uniform.
Oh, now what?
Howdy, Oliver.
Oh, it's Homer. Is this trip necessary, Homer?
Necessary? Well, yes and no. What do you mean?
Well, I'm just leaving. I thought if it would wait...
Oh, of course. I don't want to hold you up none.
Hello, Homer.
Hiya, Mary.
Won't you sit down, Homer?
Well, yes, I guess I can.
Well, it isn't compulsory, you know, Homer.
Well, how's Martha?
Martha? Well, I'd rather not say, Mary. We ain't speaking.
That should make you smile.
Nope. My heart is broke, Oliver. I'm accused of being sweet on that cashier at the Gem Cafe.
Oh, Homer. I'm sure that cashier wouldn't be interested in you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Why wouldn't she? Ain't nothing wrong with me. Except...
Mary didn't mean that. Mary just didn't think the girl's IQ was low enough for that.
Oh, well, that's different.
What happened, Homer?
Well, that waitress has been kind of shining up to me lately, and I've been kind of avoiding her.
How often have you been down to the cafe?
Oh, on and off, every night.
You're avoiding her, huh?
Yep, I am. See, I went down to straighten out some eat checks with this Tuttle feller signed.
Tuttle? The new roomer at your house?
That's right. And I sort of co-signed the eat checks with him. Well, sir, I was back at the counter, and I kind of reached around her to get a match, and Marthy walked by the window.
Uh-oh. Well, you're kind of tired of Marthy anyway, Homer.
No, you're wrong there, Oliver.
Oh, you Casanova.
Who's he?
You wouldn't know him. He never ate there.
Oh, but Homer, Martha would understand if you told her.
Told her? What was Homer doing in the cafe? What was he doing behind the counter? Why didn't he ask for a match? No, Martha's got him this time.
Tain't so, I tell you. I'm innocent, I be.
Well, you can yell innocent until midnight, and you're still going to sleep in the garage.
Well, it ain't my fault. Mabel, the cashier keeps fawning on me, all over me around it. I don't receive...
Return it.
Yep, that's it. Return it. Then this Tuttle feller, he starts barging in and trying to get her eye.
Took Mabel away.
No, he done no such thing.
I'll get it, Oliver. Hello, Anderson's residence. Oh, yes. Well, how are you, Mrs. Chapman?
Tell her to listen to my talk tonight.
Why, I'm sure I don't know what time the boys are going.
Have her old man listen, too. He knows me.
I'll have Junior call when he comes downstairs, Mrs. Chapman. Yes, you bet I will. Bye.
Why didn't you tell her to listen to me?
She's going out this evening.
What talk you doing tonight, Oliver?
Oh, it's not much, Homer. Just run in and out, that's all.
Oh, not in them clothes, huh? Looks like you got more stomach than pants.
Well, yeah. I'm going to have to rent a uniform, one that fits.
Excuse me, Homer. I'll get it, Oliver. Hello, Anderson. Oh, yes. Hello, Mrs. Gonko. Oh, how are you, Gertie?
Have Gertie listen to my speech tonight.
Oh, is that so? Splendid.
Have Judge Gunkel listen, too.
I certainly shall. Thanks for calling.
Tell them to listen to my speech to...
What did you say, dear?
Oh, I said have them listen tonight. Are you afraid to have anyone know I'm on the air? Are you ashamed of it?
Oh, now calm yourself, Oliver.
Well, what did she want, anyway?
Just wanted to ask me to listen to Judge Gunkel tonight.
Listen to Judge Gunkel?
Why, yes. He's on the program, too.
Oh, I see. They're taking just anybody on this thing, huh?
That's no way to talk about the judge, Oliver.
Have they called you to speak on tonight's program, Homer?
Nope, not as yet.
Well, just stay around the phone. They will. And I'm going before I have time to think this thing over.
Call me before the program, dear. I'll drive down.
I will. Maybe they'll take pictures, too. If they do, I'll save you one, Homer.
How do you do, sir? Something? Or are you just in out of the rain?
No, I'm looking for a uniform to wear tonight.
Ah, splendid, splendid. Uniform, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Doorman, usher, cab driver, or waiter?
No, just an army uniform.
What's wrong with the uniforms they issue you?
Well, nothing. I haven't been issued any.
A fine army. No uniform. Must be graft somewhere.
Look, you've got the wrong idea. I'm not in the army.
Not in the army? Then why do you want a uniform?
To make a talk on the radio. I'm entitled to wear a uniform, but mine's too tight.
Seems to me you could get some action by writing to your congressman.
Look, my friend, I just want to rent a uniform.
Why, yes, of course. You want to rent one of our uniforms.
Yeah, that's right.
Why, of course, that will be $11.
Well, wait a minute. I haven't been even fitted yet.
Oh, well, if you're going to be fussy about it, it'll cost you more.
Look. First, do you have an officer's uniform?
We do.
Good. Now we're getting someplace. Let's try it on.
Officer's uniform. Will that be French, English, Russian, Scottish, or do you want pants with it?
Pants? Of course. An American uniform, second lieutenant.
Here we are. Just slip into this for size.
Where?
Right here in this dressing room.
Look, do you have a parade cap with this?
Why, yes, and we include a whistle, too.
But I don't want a whistle, but I can use a belt. There. How does that look?
Just splendid, sir, but splendid.
And I'll just wear it.
Now, your credentials, please.
You mean I have to have credentials?
You wouldn't want to wear your business suit this evening.
No, of course not.
Then let's have your credentials.
Look, I'll write you a check for whatever it is.
That will be fine. And give your social security number, place of employment, and $16 in cash.
16? You said $11.
11 for the coat, 4 for the trousers, and 1 for the cap.
Maybe I'll just pay in cash. Here, I got 10, 15, 16. Is that right?
Thank you. That pays you up until 10 this evening.
Oh, well, I'll have it back by that time. But wait a minute. These eagles on the shoulder. This is the colonel. I have to be a second lieutenant.
Well, what do you want for $16? A 5-star general?
Well, no, but I...
You have the uniform, sir, and that's what counts.
Well, maybe you're right. Do you have a phone?
Well, yes. Right there on the counter.
Thanks. Colonel uniform. Well, alibi at some point.
Yes? Anderson?
Mary, this is Oliver. I have the uniform.
Oh, I'm so glad. You'll get it all wet in this rain, won't you?
Say, maybe you're right. Look, have Homer drive you down and meet me in front of the radio station at 8:40 sharp.
Okay, darling.
And you might suggest to Junior that he listen to me tonight.
Junior? Why, well, if he gets home in time, dear. Bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Now, about the rain, you wouldn't want to get that uniform all wet, would you?
Why, no, I guess not.
I thought not. Now, here, use this umbrella.
Gee, thanks. You think of everything.
Indeed, I do. And that will be $3 extra for the umbrella.
$3 extra?
Yes, and 10 cents for the phone call.
Now back to the Anderson family. Oliver Anderson has just rented an army uniform to replace his own, which was too small for him, and is on his way to the radio station where he is to make a short talk. Mary Anderson is waiting for him in front of the radio station, and the rain is coming down very lightly.
Oliver?
I didn't see you, Mary.
I wasn't playing hide and seek. I was just getting in this doorway out of the rain.
Well, is Homer going to pick us up?
Right after your broadcast.
How does the uniform look?
Looks rather nice. What's that on your shoulder?
That. Well, the man at the store didn't have any lieutenant's bars, so we just left the eagles on.
Oh, well, no one will notice them. By the way, you only have a few minutes. Here's the radio station. We'd better get on in.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, where do we go?
Well, how do I know?
Quiet, Mary.
Well, I didn't see.
This
anything.
Is not the Union Depot, sir. You must have it quiet in the studios. Let me see your tickets.
Tickets?
We don't have any. Well, then you'll have to write in and close a self-addressed envelope. They'll be mailed to you.
Mailed to me? Well, I don't want any tickets.
Everyone must have a ticket.
But Mr. Anderson is on the air here this evening.
What are you running for?
I'm running for nothing.
Well, then how do you make anything out of it if you win?
You misunderstand us. Mr. Anderson is speaking on the Big Brother program this evening.
Oh, well, then, of course, that's different. Why are we whispering?
I don't know. It's your station. Well, do we go right in?
Oh, sure, yes, of course. May I see your speech?
See it? Well, I guess so. It's not too good, I guess.
Well, I'm not interested in the quality, sir. Has the script been approved by our editor?
Well, no. Is that necessary?
Oh, very much so. You can't broadcast till it's been checked.
Well, where do I get it checked?
Well, Miss Bills takes care of that. She's gone for the day. Just mail it in tomorrow.
Mail it in tomorrow. The speech is tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, then you go right down this hall and ask for Mr. Sly. Sylvester Sly. He's a gentleman with a chin.
Oh.
He'll glance it over for you. I've got a program now, so be quiet, please. We're always happy to have visitors in our station.
Happy?
You should carry a whip.
Well, time's running out on you, Professor. Let's get down the hall and find Mr. Sly. There's a door, right there with that red light lit.
Probably an exit. Let's try it anyhow. We only have a few minutes. All right, come on in.
Look at all those people sitting there.
This must be the studio. Look, that announcer fella's waving at us.
Wonder what he wants.
Maybe I'm on early. Let's go and see.
And a good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a half hour of fun on Guess Who I'm Thinking Of and Take Home a Washing Machine program. Now, this program is entirely unrehearsed and brought to you by the makers of Tin Toes, the new toenail polish for old toes.
And I see our first contestant is coming up on the stage now. How do you do, sir?
Hello there.
Your name, please.
Well, I told you out there in the hall, Oliver Anderson.
Yes, of course. Now, here's a little question, and if you answer it correctly, you will receive our gallon size of Tinto, spelled T-I-N-T-O-Z-E. Tinto, the new wonder polish for unruly nails. Now, if you answer the question within 10 minutes, you'll receive also 15 silver dollars. All right now, sir. All right, here's our question. What color is Paris green?
May I hear that question again, please?
Of course, of course. What color is Paris green? No coaching. Hurry now, time is running out on you.
Paris green.
Yeah.
Well, it's green, isn't it?
Absolutely correct. Paris is green. You win a gallon of Tinto's for tired nails. And for your partner, sir, here's your 15 silver dollars. And thank you a lot, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, let's get out of here. This isn't the studio.
What on earth's going on?
Here, take this jug of stuff. Oh. I'll keep the $15.
You should have known better than go into that studio. You saw that red light lit.
Don't argue with me now. We can do that at home.
I'm not arguing, Oliver, but I told you about that red light.
I know you did. That isn't the question.
Wait, doesn't that look like Mr. Schultz, the butcher, coming down the hall?
Schultz? Don't tell me they let him in here.
Shh. Good evening, Mrs. Anderson. Oh. My, how lovely you look.
Oh.
I am sorry you didn't get here sooner. You would have enjoyed my little talk on the Big Brother broadcast.
Big Brother broadcast?
Yes, one of the speakers didn't show up, so they put me on.
Oh, how nice. Sorry we missed you. Well,
didn't it go on early?
Well, yes, it was rather unexpected. They're having the junior section of the program in about an hour.
Well, it looks as though we've missed the broadcast,
a
Oliver.
A shame, too, Mrs. Anderson. I did write well, if I do say so. Well, good evening. Oh, by the way, I'm running a special on short ribs tomorrow, Mrs. Anderson.
Oh. I don't like them. Good night.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, good night.
Fine thing. You never even noticed my uniform either. Just show how catty men can be.
Oh, come now. Don't take it so to heart.
I'm not, but Junior will be home with his ear glued to the radio.
I'll explain to him.
Well, I'm going
to
wait and see if I can get some satisfaction before I leave here.
Well, while you do that, I'll go see if Homer's arrived yet. If he has, I'll wait in the car and he can pick you up.
I'll have to take this uniform back too, you know.
How much did it cost?
Oh, now don't start that. Here in a hallway.
Good night, sir. Happy to have had you with us this evening. Visitors are always welcome in the studio.
Thank you. Good night. Gee, it's raining. I better slip in this doorway and wait for Homer.
You'll get wet out there, mister.
Well, yeah, it is a little wet out here.
There's room for you to stand here in the doorway.
Huh? Oh, well, thanks. It is kind of raining.
Gee, an officer, huh?
Was an officer.
Gee, an admiral. I can tell by them ducks on your shoulder.
Not exactly an admiral.
Gee, I'm just crazy about uniforms. My sister married a doorman. Guess she fell for the bright. Are you married?
Well, yes, I am. Excuse me. Here's Homer, my friend, looking for me.
Homer? You mean this little guy coming?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been waiting half an hour here alone for my husband. It just goes to show a girl can't trust any man anymore.
All men ain't the same.
Oh, here you are.
Why, yes, where's the car?
Oh, it's right over here behind that... Well... who's your friend?
Look, Homer, I just stood in here out of the rain. I never saw this young lady before.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Well, looks mighty lonely. Poor kid. Maybe you'd want to drive Mary on home, Oliver. And I'll sort of come on later.
No, you don't. I'm not going to have Martha blaming me for your troubles. Besides, I have to take this uniform back to the store.
Take the uniform back? You mean you're a phony?
I mean nothing of the sort. Now, look, Homer, you take Mary home. I'll get out there on the streetcar.
Oh, you'll come home later, eh? Oh, I get you.
Did Oliver seem worried when you talked to him, Homer?
Worried?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did a little at first. I kind of took him by surprise, but... He's got over it now, I guess.
You think we should go back and get him, take him to the store to get his clothes?
Oh, no. He seemed kind of upset-like when I saw him.
He always gets upset over things like this. What's wrong, Homer? You seem so quiet.
Oh, nothing. Just thinking. Oliver makes friends kind of easy, don't he?
I guess he does. But he has to know a person pretty well before he gets interested in them.
Oh, he does, eh?
I guess. Why, Homer, why do you ask?
Oh, nothing. Just that I like Oliver, too, I guess.
You don't mean that Oliver's been signing e-checks down to the cafe?
Nope, he ain't. Well, guess I better step on it a little. Martha will probably worry about me.
That you, Oliver?
Yeah, Junior home?
I haven't seen him.
That's funny. Did you call the Gargoyle Club?
I did. No one answered. I called Mrs. Chapman. She said Butch had gone someplace with Junior.
Gone where?
She didn't know. I wonder if they went to a show.
If he did, he's in for it.
Oh, maybe they let him go with them to the radio station.
Well, he'd been home by this time if he had.
Well, look, it's only 8:30.
8:30, that clock stopped.
Well, it might be a good plan to set it. I'll get the time from the radio.
Imagine that fellow at the radio station saying, "We always are happy to have visitors," and then throws you out.
Shh, here's the time.
And now it's my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to bring you the most representative boy in our Big Brother club, Junior Anderson.
Junior?
He's on the air.
Quiet, be still.
Let me get in there. Turn it up.
I guess all I can say is, if a boy goes halfway with his pop, he'll come out all right. Of course, some boys don't want to be like their father. But no matter how peculiar he may seem at times to us, he is generally right.
I'm not peculiar.
Quiet.
Quit pushing me.
If my folks are listening, hello, Mom. Hi, Pop. I'll be right home.
Okay, Junior, no hurry.
Oliver.
Oh. Gee, Junior on the radio. Now, I suppose I'll never hear the end of this.
Oh, I don't think Junior will ever even mention it,
just
Oliver.
Just think, they chose him to speak.
Oh, it makes me very happy.
And we're both happy. Well, maybe we could get out to the store and get a pint of ice cream so he could eat when he comes home.
Pint?
Oh, all right, a quart. Gee, I wonder if Homer heard him talking on the radio.
I don't think so. Homer acted rather strangely on his way home.
Strange? What'd he say?
Why, was there something he should have said or shouldn't have said?
Well, no. You see, she was standing in the doorway first.
She? In what doorway?
Huh?
Oh. No wonder you wanted to take your uniform back by yourself.
Now, wait a minute. I was just in out of the rain, and Homer walked up. There's nothing wrong in that.
Nothing wrong? Oh, of course not. You didn't know she was standing there, of course.
You know I wouldn't do a thing like that, and here you were so happy just a minute ago.
I'm happy now.
See? That's what happens to Homer. It's just a mistake, you say.
Yes, I know, but Homer has to pay for his mistake.
Fine thing.
It wouldn't have been so bad if Homer hadn't seen it. He'll tell Martha. Martha will tell everyone she meets. Oh, Oliver, how could you do such a thing to me?
Yes? Who is it?
It's Oliver.
Oh, just a minute.
Thanks, Homer.
Wait, Oliver. I want to barricade the door again. Martha, you know. It's right nice of you to come out to the garage and keep me company, Oliver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets kind of lonesome out here alone. These long, dark nights.
Well, you can cheer up, Homer.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm spending the night with you.
The Anderson Family is written by Howard Swart, directed by Herb Litton, and features Dick Lane as Oliver, Louise Arthur as Mary, Walter Tetley as Junior, and Herbert Rawlinson as Homer. Also in the cast were Paul Theodore, Jenny Johnson, and Doug Young. Music by Gordon Kibbe, sound effects by Ray Erlenborn, and your announcer is Ken Peters. The Anderson Family is a Hollywood Broadcasters production, transcribed from Hollywood.
Well, not a heavyweight, but obviously there were some strong professional people in there with Tetley and one of the best sound effects men in the business. But obviously a program that didn't fly too high. Of course, I'm still trying to puzzle about Homer. He has to sleep in the garage. He apparently was two-timing his girl. Well, if it was just his girl, why would he sleep in the garage? If it was his wife, that would explain the garage, but did they really do that sort of thing in family radio in those days? Yeah, more things to think about. Well, that's my offering on this half, so I think it's time to flip it back to Michael for final remarks, and then we'll put the ribbon around it for another week. So, Mike, take it away.
Thanks, Rick, and good presentation, by the way. Well, folks, this is going to do it for this edition of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise, November 13th, 2010. Hopefully you guys will join us again for... actually, next week is Mr. Hancock's turn, so hopefully you'll join us for Yesterday once more with Rob Hancock and see what he has in store for us. So take care. And once again, we do take requests. My email is mikeamelie@earthlink.net. And this will do it for my portion. So, take care, and good night.
And just to round it out, my email is richardmspurgeon@yahoo.ca. But certainly, something that goes to Mike will get through to the system. So I hope you'll join us again next week. For now, from Hiapot, I knew I'd fluff it. If I try to think of what I'm going to say ahead of time, I always miss it. But anyway, from Hiatop, the tabletop in Studio B in Woodstock, Ontario, Rotten Rick on behalf of Michael Amaro. See you next week.